You are listening to Singularity, episode 19. Today we'll be discussing part 3 of chapter 3 in A Course in Miracles. I am Angie, your host of Singularity, a podcast where we're not afraid to ask the questions that lead us to our truth. Each season we'll be discussing our way through a different sacred or inspired text. Join us with Season 1 as we find our truths in A Course in Miracles, the advent or beginning of a great awakening. And just as the Course itself will tell you, this is but one version of the universal curriculum. There are many others, this one only differing in form. They all lead to God in the end. So go ahead and grab your coffee. Have your pen and paper handy and the text if you have it. Don't forget, a free version is available online at acourseinmiraclesnow.com. Now the journey in discovering our truths starts right now. Here we go. Welcome, Miracle Makers. As always, I'm glad you're taking time for yourself, and I'm thankful that you're sharing it with me. In today's episode, we're going to cover part 3 of chapter 3, Perception versus Knowledge. And we're going to start by diving right into paragraph 1. So far in the course, we've talked a lot about perception, but not a whole lot about knowledge. The reason is because we really needed to clear up our understanding of what perception has been for us so that we can better understand how it was intended. With a couple of chapters of the course behind us, we are ready for our knowledge breakdown. Knowing is both internal and eternal. It's what we see from the inside and project out with our mind. And it's eternal because it isn't limited within space and time. To know is to have zero doubt, an instinctive knowing. It's powerful because it gives us certainty, and certainty is strength. If there is even the slightest bit of doubt, then we don't have knowledge, and any hesitation means doubt. Perception is only temporary. It's what we see from the outside and project into our mind. Perception is only experienced within space and time. There are, however, types of perception. There is misperception, which causes fear, and then there is true perception, which develops our understanding of love. However, perception is still perception no matter which type. Both vary and can't bring us directly to knowledge, meaning, too, it can't bring us certainty. Now, the Course tells us true perception can set us up for knowledge, but it's knowing that affirms truth. And to know something is far beyond just perceiving it. Paragraph 2, The Experience. I want to start this paragraph with a clip from Jacques Fresco. I feel it offers some wise insight into how we perceive, or that what mindset we assign our experiences determines our actions or behavior. Take a listen and then we can move on into paragraph 2.
The scientific method in the old days was called the disciplines, meaning that chemistry was not random, you couldn't interpret it. All chemistry is discipline. Mathematics is discipline. When 10 artists draw a Boeing bomber at 45 degrees, you can lay the drawings over one another and they all fit perfectly. Because that's a highly disciplined area, technical illustration. It doesn't have room for personal interpretation. But what you learn with the eyes is to educate your vision, so you know the roof is 30 degrees rather than 60 degrees a point. That's educated vision. How disciplined should a system be? Well, I think that in the future it has to be highly disciplined if you're to get the same meaning across to people. Where they listen to you and shake their head does not mean that they understand it as you delivered it. So there's a great deal of communication vacancies in daily transmission of language, except in the disciplines. When I talk to somebody about discipline, I'm talking about my background in relation to discipline. And if I can't share that with another person in depth, I can't alter the other person that much. I believe people can change if you can arrange the conditions to make them change.
Now Whenever we're feeling like our life is getting too difficult to deal with, understand, or accomplish the things we want to accomplish in this life, it's because we aren't remembering our real power. We aren't remembering our brother's real power or God's real power. Each of us see and experience things from a different understanding, and those understandings vary depending on the environment surrounding how it was experienced. So one thing can have many different meanings depending on the person. This is because perception isn't complete or whole. It's based solely on our own individual experience of it, this leaving so much up to interpretation. But if we were able to access an understanding from a collective experience where every possible understanding and experience could be accessed, then there wouldn't be a question as to the meaning. Questions are good because questioning illusion is the first step in undoing them, and the right answer to undoing illusion is the miracle. The reason perceptions depend on time is because within time, perceptions can change, and how we see at any given time determines what actions we'll take, and actions happen within time. The miracle is a way of seeing, not knowing, and sometimes the miracle is something we experience when we are able to perceive our brother's experience of something we already feel we have an understanding of, but still understand it from our brother's perspective, from an understanding of love. The miracle is the right answer to any question. However, when it comes to knowing, there is never a question. Again, knowledge is eternal because certainty is unquestionable. Paragraph 3, Trapped Minds. A mind that questions is experiencing time and looks to the future for answers. A mind that is closed believes that the future and the past will be the same. Both within time rely on stability to ease their fear. A fear that the future may be worse than the present. So minds in these states don't dare question when things are stable for fear of disrupting that stability. And as a result, they stay stuck in their trapped mind. Paragraph 4, Our Love Understanding. Spiritual sight sees with true vision, and seeing with true vision doesn't mean we won't see error. It just means that we'll see error as error when we do. Spiritual sight is symbolic. We don't need it to gain knowledge. It's used as a way to gain right perception, which brings it into the same circle of knowing as the miracle. So, for example, a vision of God would be a miracle. Spiritual sight works like this. Love is restored to us, and we remember our knowing and see God. Not we now see something and realize it's something we never knew. This is learning. Learning is seeing something with our eyes for the first time, but spiritual sight is seeing with our mind and remembering it, reuniting with the idea of it already within us. The fact that perception is involved at all takes it from the circle of knowing. This is why visions, no matter how holy, don't last. An example of spiritual sight is a mother's instinctive knowing with her newly born child. There is an unseen understanding and communication that goes on between the mother and the child. And by taking what we know of this bond, we can use it in our experience to do the same for everything. A mother's love in these moments is unguarded, open, and selfless. Her focus isn't on her personal gain. It's only on loving and giving to this child all it needs. The distraction of the physical senses take a back seat to the new, incredible, euphoric love that she's experiencing. A love that replenishes the mother so that she goes through a labor, nights without much sleep, and many other uncomfortable things to give her love to this child. And this love just keeps filling her up to continue. If we could access this love and experience every interaction with it, we would be living as this was all intended. Paragraph 5. Love requires no action. The Bible tells us to know who we are with no doubt, and having zero doubt is always from God. Another way to say it is love yourself. Love is always from God. When we see someone for who they truly are, it's a form of loving them. And loving them makes it so we can see them. But until we can really see someone for who they truly are, we can't possibly know them. So with that said, when we ask questions about God, what we're really saying is we don't know him. When we have a knowing about something, it requires zero action. What we experience comes into our awareness either from the inside out as a resurrected truth or knowing, or from the outside in through our perception. If something comes into our awareness provoking an action from us, what we're actually doing is confusing knowledge with perception. Knowledge comes from divine recollection or revelation that inspires thought, and to know comes through creative thought, not action, even when it is love-based action. So actions, perceiving, and the miracle are all very closely related in this way, because perception, even at a spiritual level, involves the body. This is why perceiving truth isn't the same as knowing truth. Knowledge comes from the altar of God within us. It is timeless and certain. In prayer or meditation, the searching we feel, that moment we close our eyes and take a deep breath in, is our mind reaching inward toward our truth. If you can quiet yourself enough and remain aware of the searching, you can feel it reaching within you to the altar of God. This is where communication with God, His will, each other, Spirit, and the universal knowledge are all accessed. The more we follow this path inward, aware of the journey in, through things like meditation, prayer, or just stillness, the easier it will be for us to get in the truth, or the altar of God within us. It's a practice, just like ignoring it has become a very slow evolving practice. Our society makes it so easy for us to stay locked away from the altar because it bombards our physical impulses through our senses, making our awareness primarily focused on the outside-in perceptions. Our work and our schedules keep us locked away from nature and the things that remind us or reset us to and of our connectedness. Paragraph 6. I am. The altar within us is our direct line to God. God is the source of this altar, and it's what we build ourselves around. And God can only communicate directly to us through the altar when we have right-minded perception, or when we perceive from love. When we do, we recognize each other because we are recognizing God within us as a part connecting us all. Knowledge is stable, but perception is not, so we use knowledge to stabilize our perception. The altar is where our knowing comes from, and when we align ourselves with this knowledge, it will bring peace without question. The Course tells us, knowledge comes before perception and time, and will eventually replace both. This is the real meaning of Alpha and Omega and before Abraham was I Am, meaning knowledge is eternal. There isn't a start or ending point. It always has been and always will be. And I Am refers to the Source, love, truth, or knowledge. These are all just different versions of God, just as we are. Abraham is the manifestation of this source. And this is telling us first was the source. God extended is the altar of God, or the place where God is offering himself as a holy sacrifice so Abraham can become a conduit of love. We are designed to be the movement of love, and our job is to keep the movement of love and recycle it out into our creations. God is love. He can only be the source of love. But in order for love to truly be love, it must move. And a foot feels a foot when the foot feels a ground is saying just that and so much more. In Yahoo, I read from a subscriber whose name is Nathaniel this. He said, when we think that the foot is feeling the ground, it isn't really feeling the ground, but it is instead feeling itself. It can't possibly feel the ground. It can only feel its own sensory mechanisms. Similarly, when we think we are perceiving someone or something, I suppose, we aren't actually perceiving them, but are instead perceiving ourselves in a way that is somehow influenced by them, just as the ground influences the sense of receptors of the foot. And so, when we perceive someone else in any way, we are actually perceiving ourselves. In the last sentence of the paragraph, it ends with this. Fear God and keep His commandments is really saying, know God is love and the source of what we are made from, and accept this with no doubts. Paragraph 7. I knew you before. If we're always looking for the worst in people as a method of protecting ourselves, we are actually only hurting ourselves. Also, in doing this, we won't be able to see or know our brother. When we meet someone for the first time, we make a quick observation or judgment as to whether we feel safe with them or not. We decide how much, if any, we will let them in on knowing us. And we usually do this with someone we don't know. So when we do this to our brother, we instantly make him a stranger or someone that we don't know. So now we can't know or recognize him. Now, any uncertainty or fear that we have toward our brother at this point is because we made him a stranger. But if we perceive him correctly, we will know him. The Course tells us there is a sense of familiarity between all of God's creations. Since we are like God, we can only create what we know, accepting it as ours. And God knows us and his whole creation with perfect certainty. He created us because he knew us, recognizing us perfectly. When we fail to recognize each other, what we're really doing is failing to see what it is that is familiar or the same within all of us, and that is God. So we are failing to see God when we don't recognize each other. That wraps up this episode. The thoughts I share in each podcast are my best interpretation of what resonated as truth for me. I love to share them with you. My intention is to evoke your own thoughts that will make rise within your awareness your own truth. Thank you for being a part of my journey and for allowing me to be a part of yours. With your coffee still warm and your notes fresh, take some time to go inward. Align yourself daily with your truth and take it with you into every experience. And until next time, keep shining.